You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Coffee? Oui. Oui, pardon. Absolutely.
Oh, it is Sunday after UFC 247, Jones versus Reyes here in H-Town. That's Casey. That's Jose. This is Esther. And this is Coffee Talk. Oh, also Oscar Willis is in the background. But you can't see him, but it doesn't matter.
What are we drinking?
You got it.
Roasted in Austin, Texas. And it's Colombian medium roast.
Awesome. Hook 'em horns.
Yeah. So local, sort of local. I should have bought something.
It's Colombian coffee from Texas.
Well, you know, all the coffee isn't from the city it's roasted in. None of it is.
And we don't have our cool French press. So how is this brewed today?
We don't have our cool French press here in this Airbnb we're staying at in Houston. So we brewed in a wonderful Mr. Coffee.
The Mr. Coffee?
The Mr. Coffee.
Wow. Brewed.
Where's Mrs. Coffee?
She preferred a French press.
That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Anyway, fist fighting, guys. We saw some fights last night.
We did.
It feels like a fever dream at this point.
The big controversy, of course, though, is the main event. We could talk about a lot of the other stuff, but should we talk about the other fights first? Because I feel
absolutely
like
absolutely not.
Oh, absolutely not. All right.
Absolutely not.
Well, we eventually have to because on the post fight show we teased our fans some hot prelim content.
Yeah.
We'll do it later, but right now.
But just so we know, how did everyone score it right here?
1, 2, 3,
Reyes. I scored it 3-2 Jones watching it octagon side. And then, because I was also like working and looking up a lot. So some punches I would hear and then look up and miss it. Upon rewatching the rounds 2 and 3, which seemed to be the controversial ones, I don't see how you can give it to Jones.
I had one. I watched it in the back, so I'm watching the same feed that everyone at home is watching. 1, 2, 3 Reyes.
But you can't hear the commentary, correct?
Barely. We're actually so close to the arena. I'm actually hearing the crowd sounds more than actual commentary. But I am hearing the commentary. If anything, the commentary is so heavily in favor of Jones.
It was very weird. We just watched the
rounds two and three,
and it's like Reyes would land an uppercut or a straight or a head kick, and they're like,
he's tired.
And it's like, they're like talking about the Gustafson fight, and Reyes like lands an uppercut. I'm like, that was the cleanest shot of the night. And they did not even talk about it.
Yeah.
It was baffling.
Yeah, the uppercuts and the hooks to the body, they barely mentioned.
And I felt like when he landed a good body shot, it was more like, but can he land that in the championship rounds? I'm like, but we're right here, right now. What are we talking about? Like, they were so concerned about, like, well, he's not, you know, he's never fought championship rounds. And we're like halfway through round two. Like, we're not there yet, guys. Why are we talking about that? Let's look at what's in front of you.
So, yeah, in the post fight, someone had asked him, like, oh, why did you get tired in round 4 and 5? He's like, I've never fought rounds 4 and 5 before. But he did pretty good, actually.
He did phenomenal. I think he won.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, I actually don't think that he slowed down that much in the later rounds. I could even give Reyes 4 rounds, but only because when I was taking pictures, I just felt like I was getting more of Reyes landing than Jones landing.
I thought round 4 was after you watch the fight, you go, okay, that's what rounds gonna be the swing rounds. Mm-hmm. I actually thought round 4 was gonna be the swing round because I went ahead and went Jones in it, but I thought like Reyes, because he had so much momentum going in that round, maybe the judges would keep it with them. But I thought round four was, like you said, I thought round four was the swing round, watching it live.
That's when the momentum shifted.
Well, I thought the momentum shifted halfway through the third, but not enough.
In the last 90 seconds of the
third. Yeah, but not enough to give it to Jones.
Because when we watched it again, Reyes landed two really clean, good, hard shots towards the end of the third round as well. Yeah. So in that supposed tight turning, you know?
Yeah. So. After rewatching it, I'm just like, I was, you know, because I don't know, maybe caught in the moment. I was just still shocked. I thought it was rounds two and three were clearly Reyes' rounds. But actually, go back to the whole, he's tired in the fourth and fifth. You should be tired in the fourth and fifth. Mm-hmm. That's what you fight. Actually, to me, Reyes fought, used his cardio perfectly.
Yeah.
He came out strong, took the first three rounds, and had enough in the gas tank to last the last two rounds.
Right.
So when the bell rings in the fifth round, you should have nothing left. That means you
completed it.
You completed it perfectly through the fight. When the fifth round ends,
that's actually good energy management, because you don't want to have energy left over. That means you didn't try hard enough.
Yeah, when the fifth round ends and you go, oh, I could have fought two more rounds. It's like, well, that's dumb. You know, you shouldn't have used that energy before. So I thought Reyes used his cardio perfectly in the fight. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he was rewarded for it.
Yeah.
Why did judges give it to John?
Judges gave it to John because...
I can't explain the full rounds to Juan Jones.
I think it's a lot because, like, because I was kind of just reading people's comments online, and a lot of people were arguing that silly things like Jones had octagon control. Which is not a thing. It's actually not a criteria.
I feel bad for fans. I think
because people keep, commentators keep saying it, but it's actually not in the rules.
Not only do they keep saying it, the UFC has graphs talking about who controlled the center of the octagon, like that matters.
And like, because
Reyes, but that's actually not, yeah.
And
not
Reyes in the rules. Historically likes fighting off with his back to the cage.
He does.
Counter puncher. So like he, because like
he landed so many.
Him circling with his back is what he wants. Yes. Like he's luring Jones in. So if anything, he controlled a lot of that fight too by making Jones come to him and overextend and counter.
It
with
is his
left.
Style, yeah.
100%.
I never understood that. For some reason, like, if when we were watching Pride back in the day, did anyone go, oh, that round clearly went to fighter A because he controlled the center of that ring? It's never been said before. But for some reason, in the cage, in the octagon, they made this stupid thing up, like as if we're playing King of the Hill. Like the guy who wins is the one who stays on top of the monster logo. Like, it's just like, I don't understand where this comes from. And the UFC just puts it out there as this narrative all the time. And it kills me inside.
I also don't know how much of my my picking Reyes in rounds 1, 2, 3 is just from the fact that I could hear Jones's corner. And he wasn't doing the things that they were asking him to do.
Interesting.
They kept saying, cut off, don't chase, cut off, don't chase.
He was doing all of that.
And then, like, elbows. He wasn't throwing any elbows. Like, he threw, like, one. Okay. Well, then, what did John do well?
Oh, John's chin was uber impressive to me. Like, rewatching, like, those rounds 2 and 3, he was getting hit, like... The commentary did not mention at all, but if you watch it...
His face was all bloody, actually. Oh, you just couldn't really tell.
His mouth was wide open at the end of the fight.
Yeah, and
but
he,
like,
he was all covered in blood right here.
If you weren't listening to the commentary and just, like, watching on mute, like, Reyes landed a lot of punches. Like, that elbow, the left to the body, the... Like, there was, like, one where, like, John tried to clinch up and Reyes shoved him off and just landed that clean uppercut that snapped his head.
Great uppercut.
And no-sold every single one. I was like, my God, like... Not every fight, like, I can't. There's not many light heavyweights in that top 10 who could take like one or two of those, and John ate them all.
That goes back to your point about, like, how did John win this fight? So you're asking me, like, why did the judges see it for him? That has a lot to do with it, too.
Yeah,
he no-sold every single shot.
He no-sold, and John is so freaking tough. Mm-hmm. Like, regardless of what you want to talk about, he's a goat, whatever. I think what we don't sell enough in John is just how much of an actual fighter he is, how much heart he has in that cage. It's
well, I think his top, his best trait is his survival instinct.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, even that Gustafson fight that many people consider his best ever, which I tend, until this fight, I think it was
Because the fourth round, he does that spinning elbow.
So, yeah, yeah, and not even that. Like, he didn't, like, he's on, like, I don't know, Joe Rogan said maybe 100 times last fight. But, like, he didn't even train for that fight. And he still won because he's like, well, because, like, John only used his boxing, I guess, mm-hmm. in the lead up to that fight. He trained a lot of hands because mm-hmm. that's what Gustin is known for. And then, like, halfway through the fight, he goes, this isn't working. I'm just going to kick a whole bunch. And then just won that fight solely on kicks he didn't even train, which is uber impressive, too.
Yeah.
So, yes, John Jones' fight IQ is...
Which I think we already knew. This is already it's just kind of more confirmed.
But it's like fight IQ mixed with, like, insane durability and heart is, like... You have to finish him. You have to finish him if you're going to dethrone him. Like, I don't know many close decisions that John Jones is going to lose. But what's next for these two?
So...
Our YouTube comments vehemently want the rematch. I asked who wants the rematch, and it went straight down.
Is this Machida who will won?
That's what I asked. Yeah. I asked a lot of media members. That was 50-50. A lot of them were like, well, John... Like, he won officially. Like, why run it back if you already beat this guy?
So people that think he lost but got the decision and don't think there should be a rematch?
Yeah.
That's insane.
But I think they're thinking, like, a lot of them said, I want the rematch, but they're not going to do it. Because, like, why run it back when John won? Like, he wants to go forward. And John, to his credit, was like, if fans want it, like, okay. Like, he'll sign a contract.
I'd like to see a rematch. I have the feeling that the reason why they don't want to see a rematch is because they think of the Gustafsson fight would, in the sense that, like, John has this way of, and with DC, way of, like, if the first fight was even close, the second one, he always, even if he was losing or whatever.
There were giant gaps between all
those. There were giant gaps, though.
The only fighter better than John Jones lately is John Jones in a rematch. Like, he's won all of his rematches more violently.
Just two, right?
Which
ones?
DC and Gustafsson.
Yeah. No, I looked in Fight Finder. He didn't win the second one. I looked on it. Let me go to... No contest.
Oh, okay.
He did not win that.
He still head kicked him. DC still probably got a concussion, whether it's a no contest or not.
He didn't win the fight.
Oh, okay.
Didn't win the fight.
Oh, okay.
But DC didn't win it either.
Yeah, no contest. So... He's 1-0 on one.
So then he's more violent.
The second Gustafsson fight, what was it, 7 years apart? That's what we're comparing it to?
Also, though, the no contest, we went back and talked about this, the whole picograms thing. Now he's under the allowable limit. So.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff that.
You're not wrong.
I don't buy that whole. Oh, but John now is going to be studying. It's like, no, it's like Ray is going to be, but we don't know how good Ray is going to even get, you know?
So then.
Well, if you go back to the whole stupid argument that he didn't train for the first Gustafsson fight, then maybe he didn't train for this one.
Like, who wasn't in his corner that we noticed?
Izzy
Wrestling wasn't in his corner.
Yeah, Izzy Martinez wasn't
and
in his
you
corner.
Could see that he, when he would shoot for takedowns.
He had struggled in wrestling.
He couldn't secure the takedowns that he'd become known for. Maybe this time around, he's like, I have to work. Maybe, I don't know. This is all just me assuming stuff. Maybe he didn't work on his wrestling as much because he's like, well, Reyes is beating everyone with striking.
Yeah.
And you're ready to focus on that. I'm already a good wrestler. That came back to bite him. Now when they run it back, they're like, I didn't work on my wrestling
again. To me, Reyes comes back. It's going to be even a tougher fight. Now Reyes has that championship experience. And they're going, he can't fight five rounds. He's never done it before. But now he's done it. Now he knows what it feels like. Now he knows what John feels like. You know, I think it's an equally competitive fight, just as tough, and I think it'll be just as close.
Make for a fantastic.
And I want to see the rematch. And that's unless to me the only way that rematch doesn't happen is if Corey Anderson just freaking demolishes,
just melts
Jan next week,
which is totally possible.
What do we think about Izzy's LOL comment?
I mean. He was going to comment regardless of what happened. But that made that fight that much more interesting.
But I agree with Izzy when he said it was he wants it for next. That's not something he's thinking about this year, next year.
Yeah, but that made that fight, like, Izzy is one of the greatest strikers I've ever seen. Like, he doesn't have, like, all of his movement has a purpose. He's not just throwing to throw. Like, if the John that fought last night, who can eat a bunch of shots, like, I don't know if he can eat a lot of Izzy shots. Like, that question mark kick into the jab that just Brunson's feet just turned into liquid and he fell down.
I'm not saying Izzy
crushes him.
I'm not saying Izzy can beat John Jones. But the John Jones that was there last night, the John Jones that was there
against Tiago,
the John Jones that was versus Anthony Smith, that Izzy wins. Now, John Jones, a motivated John Jones, you know, that's a different story, but those John Jones, Izzy beats.
And I think he would be motivated for that fight.
100%. I think he'd do a lot more work on wrestling. Yeah. Because you'd like, the key to beating Izzy is to get him off his feet.
Yeah.
John Jones is clearly the better wrestling grappler.
And he's bigger.
He's physically just huge compared, like size.
Yeah, that's actually why I know a lot of people keep talking about this fight, but I actually don't want to see it because I just think of Izzy as being undersized.
Izzy is closer to like 170. He came in at like 183 and a half in his last fight, didn't he?
Yeah, he doesn't cut a lot, so Not at all.
Skinny cat.
So what do we think? So what's our prediction? What's next for John? What's next for Reyes?
I think John fights Corey Anderson if he wins, and I don't hate it if Reyes fights Jan or the winner of Glover Teixeira and Anthony Smith at the Lincoln, Nebraska card.
Oh, yeah. Is that what you want, or is that what you predict? I mean, kind of like the way the UFC runs their business.
I actually think that that's probably going to end up happening, or John's going to fight Corey Anderson, and Reyes might have to sit out for a while because he probably has a couple of things to
heal. He said he wanted to go on the beach and relax for a little bit anyway.
I'm going to assume that he's got a couple of things to heal up. He might have some small broken bones in his foot, whatever.
As if,
yeah, yeah. My assumption is that he will get the rematch, but further down the line.
So Reyes won't fight again until the rematch.
Like
he might be out.
My guess is he's out for 6 months.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's gonna be John Reyes.
I hope
it's a direct rematch. I'm hoping it's I don't know, throw one of those foreign Abu Dhabi or
what about
Australia or whatever.
I actually would love to see that in Abu Dhabi. I think that would make a really good September.
From Anthony Smith to Santos to Reyes to whoever John Jones' next opponent, all of those fights, John seems to be getting closer and closer to a loss.
Yes.
Yeah.
How long can John keep this up? This. I feel like we're at this point where John clearly is the best 205er, but he's not. He doesn't. It's not that gap is gone.
Yeah.
The gap is there's not that Shevchenko Chikagian gap.
There's not Dead Men Walking Stanley.
No. Now, like, because they come in this fight, you saw the comments, oh, Reyes, you're gonna get knocked out, you know, Reyes, blah, blah, you know, it's all this stupid crap. But like, where are all those comments now? And when Corey Anderson or whoever the next guy is gonna be, is that John Jones John Jones, you know, just
Aura
is still there, or is he just now just a guy who happens to have the belt?
He might have that aura to the audience, but he's definitely not going to have it with Corey Anderson if Corey Anderson gets through Jan. So Corey Anderson's just way too angry.
He said he had, like, John Jones is like, he has a chip on his shoulder and I want to break it off.
Yeah. So
is the John Jones aura of invincibility gone?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now we're just kind of waiting.
What was the peak of John Jones? Like, where he's like, no one can beat this guy.
I think the first DC fight.
Yeah.
Even the first DC fight.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though that fight was actually, you know, entertainment-wise boring, he stopped the...
He neutralized
DC.
He put his head on.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, that...
That
yeah.
shot, yeah.
Yeah, I think that was the peak. It's like, then you go, oh, John can do everything. So I think that was the peak, even though he didn't knock him out.
Even though it was a no contest, that second fight when he head kicked him, like that was a great performance. He finished.
Yeah,
him.
But that came after really poor performance.
OSP was that after
OSP?
OSP yeah.
You're right. You are right. I forget about that.
I'm gonna pour myself some more coffee.
Another southpaw, by the way.
One thing that's bothering me: your second button is unbuttoned.
Oh, start over. What? I've done this whole.
Yeah.
God. Damn it.
Sorry.
Wait until she tells you about your flies.
Okay, this is embarrassing because I went to Urban Outfitters and I got this book, How to Be a Hipster, and it was like buttons all the way to the top. And the fact that I didn't button that, I failed my hipster class and I'm ashamed. And
when was the last time you ever even walked into
it?
I have no idea what Urban
Outfitters. Do me a favor and just like...
just die.
You know what I like about you, Casey? Absolutely nothing.
There we go. Let's start coffee talk.
All right, moving on.
It's got mean. I like it.
Let's get on to one-time Houston resident.
Wait, sorry. I see all this dried ramen in your hair. Yeah.
Joke theft from me. You can't even come up with your own jokes. It's okay. You're from Houston. You got to steal everyone else's stuff, so keep it rolling. Ha! Got it.
Oh, speed pitch. That's a baseball joke. Sprots, guys.
Sprots. Anywho, co-main event. Houston native. Valentina.
One-time Houston resident.
One time she had a six-hour layover in Houston.
No, she lived here for like 3 or 4 years.
And she shoots guns.
What
else?
She actually lived here for a couple of years.
I know.
She has a tattoo of a gun. That's your driver's license down here in Texas, right?
Yeah. Okay.
That might surprise me.
It did surprise me. In our internal picks, every card I go, I just go, okay, there's always something, because it's MMA, there's always something that's going to be like, you just can't predict. And I was, my holy shit prediction was, I thought Chikagian was going to win a decision. And I thought, not because I think Chikagian's a better fighter, but I thought Chikagian, based on Shevchenko's past performance versus Carmouche, I thought maybe she might just let rounds go, in the sense that, and Chikagian could do that, ha-ha, you know, and just touch her fingers and get out of the way and win enough, like win 3.1 rounds or whatever, just enough to win a decision. And man, I thought that was gonna be the crazy part, but nope. I think Valentina actually hated that last fight just as much as we hated watching it, and it wasn't the same performance from her.
I also think there's a couple other factors, style, obviously. If that point style, Valentina's better at it than Chikagian is. Just way better.
I feel like she's fought that style her whole life.
Exactly.
Yeah, her Muay Thai career is actually...
Her Muay Thai career, yeah. So her experience is just way above Chikagian's in that.
Like, even at the fighter panel, someone was like, what do you think is Chikagian's best performance? She was like...
That was such a good answer.
I've never looked up this information.
Yeah.
It's never been my motivation to find this information.
Yeah.
Valentina's shit talk, her non-intentional shit talk is just...
It's like Habib, where it's like she has all the words, but like she goes, it was never my motivation to find this information. I was like, I mean, that makes sense, but you sound like terrifying.
Yeah, no, it's way scarier. I actually thought that despite the fact that Valentina's always pretty even keel, she was definitely more fired up this week. You could tell just by her like... She thinks she's better. She thinks she has better reach than me. She's just like...
What do you think this came from? Were we just paying attention? Because I don't remember seeing this in the past.
We interviewed her when she fought right before Jessica I fight. And Jessica I had the bulletproof vest on. And I was like, what do you think about this vest? She's like, it won't help her. And I was like,
Carmouche did not shit talk at all. Didn't say anything really. Maybe just that. Oh, you take her down, whatever. But it really wasn't. There was not like she's not as good as she thinks. None of that.
That was good. Yeah.
She was just like, I think I'm better.
Yeah. And so I think if you really don't, it's the matchup and the style. So I really think that Chikagian, her everything she does well. Valentina does better in terms of like, oh, she's good at footwork and this and that. Like, those are all things that Valentina does really great. So,
and just point fighting in general. If you just want to just appear point fighting.
And she, not outside of the point fighting, she took her down and just cut through her like butter. Like, cut through her guard.
Yep.
Got crucifix and just blasted.
That was actually, I thought the ground fighting would be a little closer. And
especially considering Chikagian has Donahue.
I was like,
having Mark Henry and Donahue in your corner, you expected... I expected a lot more.
Yeah, I thought there would be more
ground. I really thought it was going to be more of a competitive fight. I was actually super impressed. Even though she was such a heavy favorite, it was still impressive.
Right.
How she did it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially because of the fact that Chikagian has this amazing skill of slowing every fight down, making people look bad, and she did none of that to Valentina. So.
Yeah. I don't think it's too much to talk about.
It's actually not too much, but
next.
But I do want to say I did appreciate that Valentina was like, well, who's the one, two, and three? I'm just going to fight them all.
She even mentioned Jennifer Maia, who's probably not even going to get a fight in that division again.
Yeah, because she can't make weight. Yeah. However, but she was saying that she didn't want, you could tell that she didn't want them to eliminate each other.
Yeah, usually don't have
please
them fight
don't
each
match
other.
Up one and two. Please don't match up three and four. I would rather just keep fighting. And I actually really appreciate that because, so, you know, obviously the narrative for the last couple of years has been champions not defending within their own division and jumping up and down and things like that. And she's like, no, I'm a flyweight. I'm a great flyweight. I want to stay here.
I think we're going to see a lot of Valentina versus Fighter X as the co-main for a lot of pay-per-views coming in. Like, I think it was when Demetrius was on his run. Didn't that happen a lot? Like Demetrius versus...
Well, he was
I feel like he was co-main a lot.
He was scheduled to be co-main a lot. That was like he was supposed to be the co-main at 177.
Then the main event got injured.
Then he got bumped to 178. And they were supposed to fight Hannah Barat. I mean, when TJ... He kept...
Originally booked as the co-main, which is eventually what's going to happen to Valentina.
That's going to happen, yeah.
Eventually, like...
I mean, it's already happened to her.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right.
I mean, Tony Ferguson and Kevin Lee headlined over DJ, whose his record-breaking win was the co-main event. And even Tony Ferguson was like, oh.
That's kind of...
Like, I'm fighting after this guy. Struggle.
I think she should fight either JoJo or Roxanne next. I know Lauren Murphy called out Roxanne at the end of her fight, but since actually most of the MMA decision scores...
Most? Say the word.
All the scores were for Andre Lee. I have to go back and rewatch it because I actually don't really know, because sometimes when I'm shooting a fight, I'm really just looking for certain things. And for that particular fight, I didn't have... Actually, the photographer next to me was laughing at me because whenever it went somewhere I couldn't see, I just put my camera down. And he's like, oh, I can tell you've been doing this a long time because you don't even bother looking at, like, shooting things you know you can't get.
You just look at the monitors?
Yeah, I just put my camera down and I, like, watch to make sure they're not going to pop back into the frame. That's about it. But so I know that Lauren called her out, but however, it doesn't matter. I would rather Valentina fight JoJo Calderwood or try to avenge her sister's loss to Roxanne Modafferi in Russia.
Or Abu Dhabi.
Yeah. Valentina, Roxy, Abu Dhabi.
International Fight Week?
Or whatever.
Or International Fight Week, whatever.
Yeah.
She's going to want to fight before then. So maybe JoJo in International Fight Week and then...
I think you got to do Roxy. I think Roxy, Valentina, this is the time. Valentina.
There's still some, like...
I think Roxy, whoever she fights next, she might fight... Maybe she fights Jennifer Maia. I think she's already lost to Jennifer Maia. Yeah,
that was when she was supposed to fight Carmouche, and then they pulled Carmouche to fight.
And they brought Maia.
And then they brought Maia in. That was like very recently.
That
was 2019.
I don't want that.
No, me neither.
What about Molly McCann's been kind of on a tear in this division?
Did you give her a Shevchenko?
No, I'm saying like she could face these people like Shevchenko.
No, Molly McCann and Lauren Murphy. That's the fight.
I think McCann has a fight on the London card, but that's in a week or so, a couple weeks.
Well, if she wins, then she should fight Lauren Murphy.
Yeah, no, I like that better.
And I think Valentina, Roxy, I really don't think there's much discussion. I think Roxy's never going to be hotter as a fighter right now. And you have a fresh win over her sister, easy sell. Because now, because UFC, you know, they're not good at selling fights without trash talk. But now you don't need to sell trash talk. You can sell actual fight history, you know. So
there you go. Roxanne has never been more popular.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So I think that's it. And then, Valentina will probably whoop up on Roxy, but... They're fighters. That's what they do, you know?
Like, Roxanne's finally popular at the 16 years into her career, right?
Yeah, it's like, and now, finally, she gets her title shot in the UFC on a full camp. Because, of course, she fought Nico, but that was originally, she was bumped.
She's supposed to fight Lauren.
Yeah, she's supposed to fight Lauren.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. so, I think that's it. And then,
or Barb. Sorry.
What, you think Barb should...
No, I was like, stupid tough joke, sorry.
Barb fought Lauren, right? Didn't Lauren beat Barb?
Eddie Alvarez kept confusing them and kept calling Lauren Barb.
Anyway.
I forgot about that. Once tough ended, I just kind of... I take that part of my memory and just throw it away and try to replace it with other dumb facts.
Oh, alright.
So you're on the... You think there's a... limit on knowledge you can have in your brain. So if you want to add more, you have to take out.
That's how it works. Like when you eat food, you know, I'm full. Something's got to go out. Right. Something's got to go in. It works the same way in the brain.
It explains so much.
That's science.
Louis Latifi. How did Derek Lewis look? I was thinking last night
or actually while I was shooting, I was just thinking, man, it's got to be crazy to have this giant dude just flying at you in the air.
I don't remember who tweeted it, but it was like, this is a 300-pound black man throwing flying knees at a fire hydrant. And I was like,
damn. That's MMA.
I'm like, MMA is silly.
Yeah. Oh, like, man, come on.
And he came out the top straw with a fat pat.
That sounded great in that arena.
It sounded great.
Oh. I didn't get a chance to ask Derek, but like, I just want... Top Strop is playing. Google it, people at home. It's an amazing song.
I saw Trey in Korea, like...
Yeah. But the problem is, Derek Lewis comes out, and he's all like, you know, he got his mean face. How is he not bobbing his head?
This is the information we need.
This is like...
How is your weight cut? Not what's next. Like, how did you not just, like...
How is that jam on? You're not going, yeah.
Everyone else in the arena was...
Like, they had like 17,000 people just going, yeah.
I mean, I was.
But, Derek, dude, this new Derek Lewis, this is a new Derek Lewis. Derek Lewis with a healthy back, with a healthy knee, with
Derek Lewis. Almost 100% he said.
Yeah. Derek Lewis.
And eating healthier.
He actually said, I actually want to train. He said, I don't like it, but I kind of want to. I was like, what the hell? I hope that crazy Derek Lewis and this, you know, focused Derek Lewis, I hope that they come together, you know, I hope they don't separate, you know, where he becomes like a different fighter.
There's some weird amalgamation where we have a chaotic, focused Derek Lewis.
So, man, like, I don't know.
What did he say? Swinging and banging out here to put on for Houston?
Yeah.
He certainly did that.
Yeah.
Gotta put it on for a city.
And I will add, he was on the money with his pre-fight prediction. If anyone hasn't watched it, I go, Derek Lewis, first round knockout. He's like, I'm probably gonna get like a controversial hometown decision. It was very tongue-in-cheek, but man, was he on the money with that. I just remember halfway through the third round, like, Casey's like watching, but I was like, Casey, what if it's a controversial decision? And Casey just couldn't stop laughing.
I was like, God damn, he's a brilliant, what a genius, man.
And I was like, what did you see that we didn't see? He's like, it's Texas, man. Texas commission though, what's up?
I like when you asked him in the post-scrum about it, you said,
I know, decision. I didn't want to be like, I didn't want to label this as controversial. And like, get him like, what do you mean controversial? I was like, you said this was going to be a close decision. He goes, I said controversial. Like, you can say it. I said controversial. I go, what'd you see? He goes, just Texas, man. We know what's up.
Well, I had a seat next to the judge. I was shooting position next to the judge on the B side of the cage. And he said, he hadn't been talking to me the whole night, or actually it's different ones every time, but he turned to me and he was just like, well, you know, I feel like he felt like he was going to get, people were going to get angry at him for picking Lewis. So he just started explaining himself to me, even though I didn't ask him.
This is a judge during the fight?
No, after.
Oh, God.
After he had turned in the scores, okay. He had said, I score on damage, not on control, like, he told me that he didn't feel Latifi's takedowns did anything. He wasn't going for anything. So
was he apologizing for doing his job? I don't get it.
Yeah, I just thought it was weird that he felt the need to explain to me, and then I was like, "No, I agree with you."
It was the Roy Nelson fight all over again.
But no one thought Lewis lost. Dummies thought
a lot of our Instagram commenters.
I said dummies, but I can't control
what
dummies.
What if he didn't come out to Top Strop? Would you think he won that fight?
Well, he would have came out to a Trey song or something.
Right,
so.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So, okay.
All right.
He came out to a big Pokey song, came out to maybe a Devin song, maybe a little Zero, maybe some Scarface, maybe this some Ghetto Boys.
Yeah, Trevor Giles.
That's right.
Yeah, so, the fact that, like, why?
Actually, Warren Murphy walked out to...
Latifi didn't do anything.
ZZ Top, right?
He just clinched up.
Yeah, he time traveled in a sense. I grabbed him and then 2 minutes were gone.
Yeah.
Now we're here. That's all we did. Like, boom. Only a minute left.
No, it was the right score because he didn't have offense. That kind of brings you back to the main event when we're saying like, oh, the scores were all over the place. They were in the sense of like, what counts, right? And John kept saying, oh, my takedowns counted. I was like, no, because they didn't count in Lewis Latifi.
Takedowns don't count. what do you mean takedowns? Yeah. Like, if you count those takedowns, that means you have to count all the times Reyes got up on your takedown, all the times he stuffed your takedown. Like, we're not... So, since Reyes didn't go for one takedown, does he lose the fight automatically? What are we talking about? That's
MMA is silly.
That's... Anderson Silva lost every fight because he never went for a takedown.
That's true. I mean, yeah, you're not wrong.
We actually kind of like, I jumped because I did that because no offense to Juan Adams and Justin Taffa, but they shouldn't have been placed above Lewis and Latifi.
Hell no.
They were ranked so much lower.
They weren't even ranked.
They're unranked.
Not only were they not ranked, Justin Taffa had not had a win in the UFC. Juan Adams is 1-2 coming off a loss to Greg Hardy. And the narrative coming into this is the loser's probably not gonna have another
fight. I didn't actually understand. That was one of those card placements. Is like, oh, I know you like having heavyweights on the main card.
We already had
heavyweights on the main card. Please don't put unranked fighters.
Stick Lauren Hill.
Yeah.
Stick Lauren Hill on the card. Lauren Murphy and Andrea Lee on the card.
I would have preferred to see them. I don't know if ESPN insisted that they were on the undercard. Doesn't matter. However, I still think that you should. There were enough ranked fighters on the card that a ranked fight should have been.
That was the only outside the title fight. Hill. Oh, sorry. God damn it.
Yeah, let's go.
Murphy versus Lee was the only fight between ranked fighters.
I think Juan Adams and Justin Taffa being on an ESPN card where more people can see them, like, and seeing that knockout.
Would have been better, yeah.
This would have been better for both men.
Yeah.
Well, not good for the loser, but like now Justin Taffa is like.
Yeah, that's true.
Even Mark Hunt gave him. He's like, I don't even watch the UFC, those crooked bastards. But shout out to Justin Taffa. That was like, waste of time.
Izzy gave him a shout out, too.
Yeah. So a lot of them, like Dan Hooker, Volkanovski, a lot of the.
Good for Taffa, I mean, for him. But it's the card.
Yeah. But anyway, what I wanted to say was I accidentally skipped over Ige Bektic.
Good fight. Whoa.
Someone's bumping.
Houston. Wow.
For those of you that aren't watching.
Oh,
this.
Wow. Look at those cars. Oh, my God. That's some candy paint.
For those of you not watching this.
We are in the fourth ward. Fourth ward.
Yes.
So a little history. I used to shoot rap videos here before I got into MMA. And now this is a nice Airbnb townhouse. But I shot a Slim Thug rap video right down the street. So I think some of the cars in the background are just still passing through right now.
Yeah,
that rattled the house. That was like a 4.6 in LA.
back to Ige and Bektic. What did you think of that fight?
I liked it. It was pretty much. It wasn't like I asked both men. Like I was going through Twitter because I like to see like. Fan interest in certain fights, and a lot of fans were picking this fight as their pick for fight of the night.
Yeah,
because mostly because they thought the top two fights would be finishes expected a classic in the main event.
Yeah,
And then obviously the James Krause fight, no one really predicted that was going to happen.
It's you know what, I wouldn't have given that fight of the night though.
I wouldn't either.
I wish Dana just sent some extra money.
Yeah.
To Krause rather and give that fight of the night.
Like
to,
Lauren Murphy and Andrew Lee was a really
that's,
good fight.
That's actually what my pick for fight of the night was. I felt like he didn't want to reward Lauren Murphy for winning the decision by giving that.
Yeah.
That's not on her. Also, go back to his previous statement about how we're not judges.
Yeah.
That was still the best fight.
Yeah, it seemed like going into the third round, like the crowd was like super hyped for
so
that.
So hyped.
And that's what sucks because that fight was so low on the card. It's less important. It probably would have won if it was
switched with Taffa.
Yeah, if it was the fight right before the first title fight,
right.
Which is where it should have been.
Yeah.
Because 225ers coming up right before the 125 title fight, that makes total
sense.
I
like having the future contenders
right there. And people always say, oh, you should be in ESPN, more people watch it. No, more people have it on, but they're not watching. In the back in the media, like we're watching the top two fights. We're like this. We're watching. We're studying because we have to know what's going on. Those prelim fights, we're like this.
For most of them,
you know, because everyone's busy doing stuff. People at home, like even like this is when people are getting line. They're in the beer line and stuff. No one's are dedicated to these prelim fights. Even though more people are watching, they're not paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
It was more beneficial to be on the televised prelims when you could have your own sponsors.
Yeah, and there's more money involved, but now the money's the same.
But now
the money's the same,
like,
so it doesn't.
So it's just too bad.
Yeah, it was too bad because I thought that was a great fight. I'm not saying that Giles Krause wasn't a good fight; it just wasn't as good because it was really just two tired dudes being real sloppy.
But an original question. EK Backtage. Okay. Thought it was an awesome fight. I actually watched, I didn't get the commentary, but I thought Ige's corner was absolutely on point. Mm. Everyone. Like, he would, like, start off with, this is what you did wrong. This is what you need to do. And then he was just like, and then he went into, like, that emotional, like, 5 minutes of hell kind of thing. And he's like, let's fucking do this. And then, like, ran out there. So, like, it was like, I can't remember the coach off the top of my head, but, like, in that 60 seconds, he crammed so much information. And Ige was just like, yeah, and just, like, ran out and won. So
Backtage almost got knocked out by the same exact way he got knocked out by Josh Emmett, right?
Yeah.
He was running away and, like, caught a kick.
Good fight.
Yes.
Liked it.
Fight. No, good fight between two
high level martial arts competition.
Yes.
Guys who should be ranked, but 45 is just so stacked that they're just right.
Now, I think that's five in a row for Ige. Said he wants to fight the Korean Zombie next. That's probably not going to happen.
But props to him for shooting very high there.
Ige, Bryce Mitchell. Sure. I want that. Because, no, they have. They went at it because.
They have beef.
They had a little bit of beef because Ige was already booked, but Bryce Mitchell got that twister. And Dan Ige's like, why are people impressed about this? Like, it's a bad. Like, yeah, it's impressive.
You have to make so many mistakes.
Right. He's like, yeah, it's impressive, but, like, it's, like, impressive to, like, pull off, I guess. But he's like, it's not what. Like, basically, he's like, it's not as impressive as people are saying. And so there was a little bit of back and forth.
I didn't like how it ended up getting voted our submission of the year by our staff. Because I had picked Maya Askren because that was just solid.
So high level.
High level.
It was also against Askren.
Yes.
Again, yeah.
It's never been.
People don't reward very simple submissions.
Technique never sells.
Yeah. If it's just against super high level competition and very solid technique.
I picked Brent Primus just because Gogo Plot is there. Crazy.
That's fine too, but also very difficult move to pull off.
Super difficult move.
Yeah, but a twister, like, you, like, your opponent has to make a couple of mistakes.
And they're both in the, like, Bryce Mitchell's undefeated. I don't know if he's ranked, but if he is ranked, he's probably in the lower one.
Ige, Bryce Mitchell, book it.
Book it. Book it.
I don't think it's anything.
Anything else in the card?
Other fights happen. You know, people won, people lost. No, it was
Chaos Williams won in, like, sub minute getting that short.
Or Alex Morono, huh?
Getting a tough night for 4-7 men.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, man, just
Miles John got his first professional loss.
Yeah.
Bad. There's something to be said about these taking short notice fights. Taking him, not taking him as the other guy, as the opponent,
like the person that was
originally booked. Yeah.
So like Brandon Moreau, Alex Moreau was supposed to fight Diego Lima, and then
a completely different guy.
Such a different fight.
Very different fight. And you're fighting a guy you don't know either.
Yeah.
And Chaos Williams has like a good record,
but again,
he's not terrible.
But
he just hasn't been signed yet. That's
And
he really hasn't fought anyone of note. So he's an unknown. Yeah.
He's fought a couple guys that had Bellator experience that he beat.
Like prelim Bellator.
I meant just like in the UFC, we hadn't seen him. So like you can't necessarily, if it's prelims too, it's a little harder to get the tape. You're not prepared. I thought
it wasn't, but it wasn't a very impressive punch that
he just like rocked
in the firefight. Yeah.
Yeah,
it came up in that underneath. I was like that was a high skill punch.
The only thing I was disappointed about that fight is Chaos Williams did not use his time in the media scrum to sell any like
afterwards.
He was just like, he answered a lot of like, and we've had this conversation. It's on the media. But a lot of his answers were just like, most definitely. Like, it was a lot of yes or no questions, and he'd just be like, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, a little bit of this, that's on you guys, sorry.
Because most fighters, once you get to a certain level of experience, media experience, if you go, were you happy with your performance tonight? He'd be like, yes, rather than, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. Or I asked him, like, do you like, is making your UFC debut, now that you're here, Was it beneficial for you to make this on short notice because you don't have like 6-7 weeks to think about it and it's killing you and you're racking your brain? You could just like, I just have to cut weight and show up. Like Michael Bisping said, his knockout of Rockhold, that was super beneficial for him because he didn't have to do the media. He just cut weight. He didn't have to like rack his brain. I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
I actually think that's why Krauss did so well against Giles, you know?
The guy who won... And UFC 241, he knocked out Devontae Smith. It's one of the... they showed a graphic of biggest upsets, and he was like five. Oh, Cameron Worthy. He took Devontae Smith, was like pegged as like this future contender. He came in and just crushed him. And I asked him, and he goes, 100% showed up. I just cut weight and then just walked in there with nothing to lose. Didn't have to like mentally drain myself thinking about this man for 6 weeks.
You know, those funny, all those guys that come in like under a week notice who've never had any kind of big name experience, they always win within like the first minute. It's never like they win a 3-round dominant fight, a 3-round decision. They always win like in 30 seconds. Or something like that, right?
Who's the guy that beat Michel Pereira in Vancouver? Conley. He won a 3-round decision.
Yeah, but it was a little different. Pereira had like a long bad weight cut and all that stuff.
And missed weight, didn't he?
And missed weight. And he had visa issues.
And a lot of people was like, he won the first and then just got tired.
Yeah,
okay. That's kind of a different set. Yeah.
I think we've talked enough. How long have we been talking for?
I don't know.
How long have we been coffee talking for?
Like 45 minutes or something.
45 for 2 cups of coffee worth.
Okay.
What else? Anything else from this card?
Houston? Not from the card. There was some fun guest fighters backstage.
I hope everyone goes back and watches
like all the scrums with Usman, with Cannonier.
Was the highlight of the week, honestly, the dance off though? As far as like just fun.
And then the highlight of the week was the dance off for UFC 248 between Izzy and Romero.
It turns out Romero admitted that he was a vampire. He's actually hundreds of years old.
Yes.
Not related to the fight, but like Usman was like super popular after beating Colby. Like, great fight, beat the guy that everyone wanted to beat, broke his jaw, tough, like didn't wrestle, just struck. And then they show him on the camera and he gets booed mercilessly. And he, like, plays it up. He's like, ow, guys. And then they show Masvidal, and everyone just stands up and he runs. It's weird because, like, after the little dust-in at the Super Bowl Media Day, all I was like, I didn't really think anything of it because we got, like, 4,000 camera angles of it. But all the Twitter and YouTube were like, oh, this looks bad on Masvidal. He's the one that didn't do anything. That was not the case in the
arena. Everyone already forgot it.
Everyone was booing Usman, and everyone was erupting for Masvidal.
It's a very pro wrestling thing.
Wrestling
thing. Like, Masvidal has gone over, and that's about it. You doesn't matter. Like, I don't know how.
He got the biggest pop of the week pretty much consistently. His interview with y'all, or scrum with y'all in Humble, did great.
Did absolutely great.
It kind of killed everyone else on the card.
Yeah, he killed everyone from UFC 246.
Yeah, he also outperformed Conor.
Who gets a big if they had two people in the arena in Houston last night? Who gets a bigger pop, Masvidal or Conor?
Masvidal.
That's insane. I mean, I think you're right. I just think I.
Plus you're
hey, in the back.
Plus you're in Houston.
No opinions in the back.
Plus you're in Houston.
I know.
It's a very Hispanic community, and Masvidal obviously reps. I think it is very clearly going to be Masvidal, but it depends on what.
I believe you. I just think it's really, really fascinating.
Yeah. Or people would make sounds for Conor, but they wouldn't all be cheers. You know what I mean? Some might be boos, right? He might get booed a little bit, or like, you know.
No one's booing Masvidal.
A lot of juggalos just going, whoop, whoop.
Don't try this at home.
Whoop, whoop. It's for all the juggalos and juggalettes.
To wrap things up, thanks for joining us for UFC 247, Jones versus Reyes. We will see you after Adesanya versus Romero, and Zhang will defend her belt against Joanna if she can get into the country.
And you can find this also on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, and all that fun stuff, because I always forget to plug that.
Oh, yeah. I listen to it on Spotify.
Yeah, a lot of people. We get a lot of listeners on the podcast rather than via YouTube. So shout out to people who are listening.
Yeah.
And don't see Casey's hat and mustache.
One last thing we didn't talk about at all, but I feel I just need to say it. Jenny Fry beat Ashley Cummins in Invicta in a non-title fight because she missed weight by half a pound, missed championship weight by half a 0.8 pounds. I hope Jen goes to 115 and goes straight to the UFC as a strawweight and
Makes an attempt there. Now that she's not the
Atomweight champion.
Now that she's not the champ, she actually doesn't have to stay in Invicta. So.
Yeah, I just I want to see Jin. I think Jin Yifei is a super talented fighter, a super remarkable fighter, and I just want her to go up in weight because I think she is a 115er, and I think she's very good, and I think the UFC strawweight division would benefit from it, and I think the fans would love it.
All right.
Well said.
That's all.
Thanks very much.
I'm Master Lin, and this has been Coffee Talk.
That was a really great impression.
It is. Do an impression of me.
I'm Casey. This is Coffee Talk.
Ooh.